It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori, and we now go live to St. Andrews, where the AIG Women's Open is taking place, final round in progress, and joining us is Martin Dempster, golf correspondent for the Scotsman, and a resident of Fife. Good morning, well, I guess it's good afternoon there, Martin. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Hi, Ann, how are you?
Good. What's happening over there? Set the scene for us.
Well, I'll tell you, it's what we describe here, Anne, as a dreek day in Scotland. You'll know what they're all about. It's a little bit rain at the moment, drizzle, and the media centre roof is starting to rattle, and that, of course, means the wind is picking up. So it's been a tough 4 days here in the AIG Women's Open. The leaders go out in just about an hour's time, and we're set for a fascinating afternoon.
Wow. I mean, it's you just never know where you're going to get over there, right? Four or five seasons in a day. And yesterday, it seemed like it was probably the best scoring day of the 4 days, right?
It was, yeah. It was a little bit brighter yesterday. The sun was out. There was a wind there. But it wasn't, I mean, the first day, it was a really, really strong wind on the first day. And they did really well to actually complete play. There were a few times it must have been touch and go whether play could continue, but they kept it going. And thankfully, we're on schedule to get finished today. As I say, it's a fascinating leaderboard that we've got heading into the final few hours of the final major of 2024.
So how have the crowds been over there, Martin? What's the interest been like for this Women's Open Championship?
It's been excellent. Obviously, the Men's Open is on a sort of different level in terms of spectator numbers, but this event has grown in stature. It became a major in 2001. The RNA took over the run on it more recently, and it's really got a nice feel to it. A lot of families were out there yesterday, lots of women out watching, and yeah, it's a really good event, and of course, everyone just loves being at St. Andrews, as I know you do as well.
And you said you live near there?
I do, yeah. I'm only 45 minutes away from here. My wife was born in St. Andrews, so we regularly come up here just to go in the town. And there's no better place than St. Andrews, not just for golf, obviously the university, etc. And I often tell people that during the Dunhill Lynch Championship, if I want to go for a walk, I don't necessarily go down onto the golf course. I go up into the town. It's much more interesting up there at times.
I love walking around the town of St. Andrews. What a historic town, and going to old Tom Morris's gravesite and, you know, the university. It's just an incredible place. So how many times have you actually played St. Andrews, Martin?
I've played it a good few times. And like lots of people, I wasn't sure what was going on the first time I played the old course. It takes a little bit of time to get used to it, and certainly having a caddy helps, round about the greens in particular. But when you get to walk down the first fairway and back up 17 and 18, or even though I've maybe done it a good few times, it's still very, very special. And just being at St. Andrews, Anne, it's just wonderful. And I can see people from all over the world are here this week, and they're just loving being here. No, that's no surprise.
Remember, I'm sure you've covered, you know, all the U.S. Open championships, you know, during your career that had been at St. Andrews. But remember when Tiger won in, was it 2000? What year was it when it was so hot there? It was in the 80s. It was just unusually warm. Do you remember that U.S. Open? Open championship?
The Open, yeah. Well, we don't get warm Opens very often, unfortunately. But, yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what year that was. But I think the great thing about an Open is that you don't want it to be flat, calm. You want a mix of weather. The Men's Opens had pretty brutal weather on the Saturday at Troon earlier this summer. And the women have faced a real battle this week because of the wind. It's looked more like a Dunhill Lynx sort of tournament where everyone's got their woolly hats and mitts on, but it's only August in Scotland. It's not really normally like that at this time of the year. But what I've loved is that the women, Nelly Korda included, have really relished the conditions out there. There's been no moaning about it being too tough, etc. They've really embraced the challenge, and that's what Lynx golf's all about.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, they're wearing, caps and earmuffs, and it must. And I hear it's colder today, actually, than it was even yesterday. So, and to see them, first of all, the skill level is incredible, but to see them trying to overcome the elements, it's fascinating. And this Jiye Shin grabbed the lead. She carded a 5-under-67 yesterday, and she's one shot ahead of Lilia Vu, and then two shots ahead of Nelly Korda. And what are your thoughts about Nelly Korda? I mean, she had that incredible win streak earlier this season, 6 wins in 7 tournaments. But we have really not seen this consistency from her since. But anything can happen today, as you because of the weather elements, right?
Yeah, I mean, Nelly was coasting, actually. She opened with 268s and took a 3-shot lead into yesterday's third round. She got off to a bogey start, but regained her composure and was out in front again until she hit a tee shot out of bounds at 16, which was a real shock. She then bogeyed 17 before birdie in the 18th. So it wasn't the day she was looking for, but she's been very impressive apart from those sort of couple of holes late on yesterday. Scottish fans, British fans are loving her here this week because, as you mentioned, that great run of form early in the year was Scottish Scheffler-like, of course. So, yeah, I mean, certainly Jiye Shin's out in front, and she's bidden to become the only player to win this event 3 times since it became a major. She's a good player. She plays most of her golf in the Japanese tour now, so she's certainly going to be tough to beat. Lilia Vu, she's bidden to become the first player since 2011 to win this event back-to-back. Nelly Korda's right in the hunt there. And I think Lydia Ko, of course, we need to mention her. The new Olympic champion, LPGA Hall of Fame member. She's only 3 shots off the lead. So if you mention those 4 names in any tournament in contention going into the last round, it's very, very tasty. And that's why everyone's so excited about what's going to lie ahead over the next 5 or 6 hours here.
Yeah, I mean, Jiye Shin, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that's if she wins today, it will be her third major title and all 3 Open Championship wins. So something about her, she must love playing links golf, right?
Yeah, she did. The first one, she's won the previous 2. One was at Royal Liverpool, one was at Sunningdale. So Sunningdale, of course, isn't a links course, but she's got great experience. This is her third Women's Open at St Andrews. Played in the first one here in 2007. That, of course, was won by Lorena Ochoa. And then 2013, when Stacey Lewis won. So Jiye Shin, she's one of the few players who's playing here for the third time. And there's no doubt that and just experience of playing the old course is a big thing. And that could be a big factor as she sets out holding a 1-shot lead over Lilia Vu.
Well, the iconic St. Andrews clubhouse, I read, dates back to 1854. And women were finally allowed to become members in 2014, ending a 260-year ban. What was the sentiment like over there back then, since you live right there, Martin, when they finally allowed women to become members of the RNA?
Yeah, I mean, it had to happen, Anne. I mean, we couldn't live in the dinosaur times forever, could we, in golf? Thankfully, things have moved on. Not only the RNA, the Honourable Company of Edinburgh Golfers at Muirfield, they opened their doors to women, as did Royal Troon and a number of other Scottish clubs that had been men-only members for a long time. The women have they've been using the clubhouse. It's been renovated over the last couple of years. They've got some new locker rooms down in the bowels of the building. The players have been using those this week, and they've loved being, I mean, you know, the RNA clubhouse. Last night I was walking up the side of the 18th and it was dark and it's lit up, and I mean, it's such a fantastic sight. One of the great, most iconic buildings in golf, if not the most iconic building in golf. And there's no doubt, as I say, this is the third AIG Women's Open here. There'll be more to come, no doubt, in the future. And the women have just loved being at this superb venue. And as you say, I feel lucky just to live not too far away and never take that for granted.
It's just an incredible village, for sure. And now, when you mentioned women members, I remember reading, I think Princess Anne, she was one of the first female members. Laura Davies, Annika Sorenstam. I'm sure you've seen Annika there, right?
I've not seen her this week, actually. I don't know. I don't know if she is actually here. But certainly, I've been here since Tuesday. Long hours, as you know, covering golf tournaments. But I've not seen Annika. So, but yeah, she's certainly one of the honorary members of the RNA. I would certainly like to see someone like Lydia Ko join her on the list. I think Lydia Ko is just a tremendous ambassador for women's golf. And golf in general. Everyone was delighted to see her win the Olympic gold medal in Paris just over a fortnight ago. And we spoke to her at the Women's Scottish Open a few times last week and then this week, and she's just a joy to listen to, so engaging, and she's one of those figures in golf that we'll feel blessed that we've had someone like that in our sport.
Absolutely. We talked a lot about Lydia Ko when she won the Olympic gold and earned that 27th point to get into the LPGA Hall of Fame, which is the most toughest Hall of Fame to get into, for sure. How about Renee Powell? Do you ever run into Renee over there? Renee is just an incredible legend in golf, and I understand that she's the one that her father built the golf course in Ohio in our country. And okay. I do a chapter on Renee in my book, Life on the Green, and apparently they named a dormitory after her at St. Andrews, and she's an honorary member of the RNA, which I think is just so well deserved based on everything she's accomplished and overcome in her career.
You kindly gave me a copy of that book earlier in the year, and it's been such a busy year, I've not had a chance to get around to reading it. So I'm not up to speed with Renee Power, but I will certainly do so once the sort of golf season dies down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I know she's over there. And when I was at the Masters this year, during the practice round, I ran into Renee on the 12th hole. And who was she with? None other than the president of St. Andrews University, who is a woman. So it's just a really interesting, they really do respect and revere, some of these top female legends in sport. And it's good to see, the progress that has been made. And the RNA is really leading the way now, right? Once they kind of connected with and took over the Women's Open, we're seeing a lot more prize money. I read earlier that prize money now, it's a record $9.5 million for this year, up $500,000 from last year. So there seems to be, they've made a lot of progress for women, the RNA.
100%. That prize fund's tripled over a period of time. I think it's about 7 or 8 years, which is fantastic. That of course, is reflected across all the women's majors. But I think a lot of credit has to go to Martin Slumbers, the RNA CEO. In his time in that job, the RNA have really been driving a bid to grow women's golf. They've had a women's charter, and Martin certainly helped this event grow. And of course, this is his final event, final professional event before stepping down as the CEO. And there was no doubt that he spoke with pride about how this event's grown in a press conference early in the week. We've got the Curtis Cup on British soil next week at Sunningdale. That, of course, is the amateur equivalent of the Solheim Cup, although it's just GB and I. On the back of this event, let's hope more young girls, young boys as well, who will be watching the likes of Nelly Korda, etc., want to pick up a golf club on the back of these two big events on Scottish soil.
Yeah, what a great assignment, Martin Dempster. Not only covering the Women's Open Championship there, but living only 45 minutes away from St. Andrews. Who are you picking to hold up the trophy today?
Yeah, well, I would like Nelly Korda to do it. I've been very impressed with her. It's the first time I've really had the chance to see her close up. But Lilia Vu at Walton Heath 12 months ago was very dogged in the final round. She's a real gutsy competitor. A couple of times this week, you've thought the rounds have been getting away from her, but she's dug in and sort of got scores that have mattered. And I do think that Lilia Vu, as I say, who's trying to become the first player to win this event back-to-back, since 2011. I think she's going to be the one that we should be keeping an eye on when it comes down to the business end. Down 17, of course, a road hole, that's going to play a big part. But, yeah, listen, whoever wins today is going to earn it. We've all enjoyed this event, Anne, and no, let's hope that St Andrews embraces this event going forward.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Hey, what a pleasure to talk to you. Your favorite thing to do in St Andrews, before I let you go, what would it be, Martin?
My favorite thing to do in St Andrews is just walk through St Andrews, walk up the town, walk down, you know, down to the old course, you know, behind the 18th green. It's just phenomenal. I get as much joy walking in St Andrews as I do hitting golf shots, and of course that's why so many people come from around the world here. But yeah, one of my favourite places in the world, and always will be.
Martin Dempster, golf correspondent for The Scotsman. What a pleasure. I could listen to you talk all morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martin. Really appreciate your insight. Enjoy the final round of the AIG Women's Open Championship.
Thank you very much.
All right. I love it, Martin. I just love those accents, right? Oh, gosh. Anyway, coming up, Damon Hack, NBC golf interviewer and co-host of Golf Today on the Golf Channel. But first, let me tell you that iBeCool luxury athleisure wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent, moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. iBeCool apparel also features UPF 50+ sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, ultra-soft fabrics with the latest technology to protect your skin, look, and feel your best. Learn more at ibkol.com.